Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, director Andy Chapman. Andy, thank you so much for coming on the show this evening.
Thank you for having me.
I'm trying to even find the words for it. I was honored, is the correct word, to have seen your most recent production of The Bluest Eye at, A Noise Within Theater out in Pasadena. It is, as you can hear, I'm struggling. It is beyond words. It is a truly moving, one of the best plays, performances I've seen in quite some time, and one that has stayed with me since I've seen it. So let's start with the original novel by Toni Morrison. It is frequently banned, as I understand it.
Right.
Last year, it made the top three, which I guess is something. how did the book come into your life? How did you first hear about it?
I read the book when I was younger. First, I'm a huge fan of Toni Morrison, so I, followed her since I was like a teenager. Excuse me. And she, Bluest Eye, Beloved, Sula, Song of Solomon, she has so many books. I've known about it for quite some time. I hadn't read it since I was a kid. And then revisited it when A Noise Within came to me with maybe directing the play. Right. And I was happy to revisit reading the book again. So I read the book again, and then I got it on Audible, which is a great treat because Toni Morrison narrates it herself.
Oh.
So I spent, I think I've heard the Audible at least 17 times. I just listened and listened and listened because you get so much information from her in regard to what her intent was as she narrates the story.
Yeah, that's fantastic and fantastic to know about. I'm going to look that one up. Because it is such it's a complicated story and there's a lot to it. But I will say that however it was baked down. Now, it's my understanding this adaptation was first premiered 2007. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's what I hear. I've never seen it. I heard about it years ago that somebody was directing it in like Arizona.
Okay.
And then the Guthrie did it. But I've never really like seen a live performance of it. So I knew it was a naturalistic version of it. Excuse me. And how I imagined it was always non-naturalistic. I guess that's the best way to put it. It was naturalistic, but I had other thoughts about wanting the text to shine and wanting the actor to shine. And because, of course, it's Toni Morrison's words and they're bringing those folks to life. So that to me was the most important part of the book.
Yeah. And it's one that is, boy, you achieve in spades. It's just tremendous how well the words come together. I was going to hold this off till later on in our interview, but I've got to talk about it now. Your cast is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, top
they're
to bottom.
Wonderful.
To see so many incredible performances by actors and actresses who have such different qualities to them that are each remarkable and watchable, and you know it's part of what, if you're not as familiar with the book as maybe some people might be, it's these performances that really lead you into this story and are willing to follow these girls wherever they're about to go on their adventure of of youth. And I am so game to follow these girls anywhere and everywhere. And congratulations. Casting is one of the most difficult aspects of the whole process, be it theater.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Right. And and y'all deserve an award for that alone. Just amazing.
Yeah, and they were the wonderful thing, too, is not only were they talented and marvelous in receiving and embracing the play, but they're just great human beings. So we had such a great time working on the show. So a lot of that joy you can see in the playing.
Yes.
Just we all loved each other and just got along really beautifully, which is great, which is how I like to work, because I think creativity needs a space of joy and love and openness that you feel free enough to share what you have inside. So for me, that's important. Well, and they did that in spades. I'm very proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to that as well, when you have that sort of mutual admiration and they're decent, good people that you're working with, people that you want to hang out with afterwards, there's this trust that everyone truly really invests in, where you can, as a director, ask them to do something that they might be slightly uncomfortable with, but you just, the trust factor is one that is, you know what, highly overlooked as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, very much so. It should be actually the kind of the center of it, actually. The trust factor is really important, actually.
Material in the play, and as I understand it, it's the thing that is kind of lorded over the novel as for why it's banned, is there are some or specifically there is a horrific moment that is depicted in the book, and on stage you manage it deftly. I will say it's the impact is not lost upon the audience. It has the weight it is supposed to have. You are supposed to sort of shudder in the moment, but it does something that few other productions I have seen that have dealt with similar themes does, which is it doesn't assault the audience. It doesn't put you back. And there are, theater has a knack of, and I hate to say this, But there is this feeling of wanting to shake up the audience and kind of really go after them and really shock them. because of the medium of theater. But I have found frequently, just myself as a viewer and as someone involved in theater my entire life, that it's rarely the best way to tell that story or to keep your audience interested or motivated.
Engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from your perspective, when you were tackling those moments in your play, what was important to you? What was your angle on how to get across the horror of what was happening without turning your audience off, for lack of a better?
I really, and as she actually, Lydia, in the book, in the play, she had to allude to that. She had to write a note. I don't know if she wrote it after her first showing of the play, but I guess other productions were trying to simulate it somehow, which I think she said, because once that happens, you lose your audience. And so I, of course, took her advice, and I would never have shown it anyway, whether I saw that in a note or not. But I think it's much more powerful in the narration of it for the imagination to take over. And you don't have to see any movement toward those actions or anything. That folks who know the book knew what happened, and those that don't, they get the inference of it, and it lives in their imagination, and that's sufficient. It's powerful enough. And all I did was take it as far as I could take it, and then let the story, let the text take it the rest of the way. So I was not going to allow him to touch her or she to touch him. It was just, it just had to be told in such an elegant way, I feel. And that you still get the message, you still, the text still stands on its own, and the actors are safe as well, and the audience is safe. So for me, that was a no-brainer. You have to tell it in the most beautiful way you can tell it. It's not nothing beautiful about it, but it has to be clear enough and powerful enough, but you don't have to be exact in action. That's how I felt about that scene.
Well, and kudos to you, because it is deftly executed, and your actresses, you know, for someone like myself who was not shamefully not as familiar with the text, it allows you. Yeah, it allows the audience who is me to sit there, and you start to you start to piece together what has occurred.
Yeah.
And your actresses are what sells it. And honestly, the horror that you then start going, oh my gosh. And then how it's managed is far more lasting and impactful than had there been some sort of simulated moment.
Right.
You know? So, you know, again. Tremendous.
And I think people were concerned about that in the telling of the story. And I was sharing with the artistic directors, there's no worry about that. I immediately, I knew that is not something we're going to show on stage. That's part of the novel. It's very clear in the novel. Right. But it's not for staging purposes, I don't think. And I think the writer believes that as well. Otherwise, she wouldn't have put that addendum in her script.
Right. I think you couldn't have... Couldn't have done it better. It really was amazing.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern. Here is
Is a really interesting. That was my first experience at A Noise Within, their theater space. I know, shame on me, but
beautiful space.
It's a beautiful space. It's a beautiful three-quarter thrust, which really allows the audience to everyone in the audience to have an intimate experience with the material, with the actors. What were some highlights and what were some challenges about working in a space that's, you know, intimate?
Trying to make sure the people on the house left and the very far house right to be able to have windows where they can see. Because those seats are just not the best seats. The ones on the very end, far house right, house left. So just trying to have the actors adjust themselves enough where at least they can see as much as everyone else can see.
Right.
If it's not fully, they can see windows through the other people or something. So just kind of moving the actors in such a judicious way where everybody can be seen in some way or fashion. I mean, you can't really change where those seats are, but you can do your best to make sure that everything is shared so they don't feel like they've missed too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then I love the crew, yeah, great crew. The book was the set, you know, was in my imagination. They executed it to the ninth degree. Fred Kinney, who did the set, did a marvelous job. I just shared with him downloaded what was in my head in terms of setting, and it was just a lovely kind of dance. Everyone, we played a lovely dance and got to where we needed to get to without any kind of scrums or anything like that, which is kind of lovely, actually.
Absolutely. No, it is a beautifully textured space that is highly malleable,
yeah,
so that you're able to kind of go from location to location and there's never a bump for the audience at all. You're with it the entire way. And boy, I got to mention once again, that cast, I would watch, if you gather that cast to do anything, well, I'll watch them paint a wall. They were so great. Truly great.
Yeah.
For you now that it is up and running and you're back to, now, well, let's talk about this for a quick second. You are not just a theater director. You're also an actress yourself, as well as an educator. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an actor. I was an actor first. I love direction. That came along in like the late 90s. And I just started doing it more and more. So I really, they kind of fight each other now, which is kind of interesting. I do a lot of television, which is fun. And love that as well, but really love theater directing and film, television. I kind of like all of that. It's just your vision gets larger is what happens. And then I teach at Azusa Pacific. I taught at Pepperdine. I taught at Chapman. I really love to give back. I think of education as when you learn something and you pass it on to another generation coming. And if you can somehow help them not deal, you know, not worry about what's to come, but you can give them your working actor, working director, you can pass along your experiences to them. And then champion them as well at the same time, so they understand that they too can do this. So I really love that part of it. So I could be working 1,000 jobs. I can be the richest person in the world, but I will always teach. I find that most rewarding, especially when you have students who really just want to go to the next level, and you want to help them as best you can. So for me, teaching is like, it has to be a part of who I am. Yeah, I really love that. Love giving back to them.
Well, thank God for people like yourself that do that, because it for young creators, and I have been there, we mm-hmm. require people who have had those experiences and who are willing to shape and shepherd younger voices to help find their own. So thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for this. It's an amazing production. I'm telling everyone to go out and see it immediately. Andy.
Oh, thank you so much, Bob. What a lovely person. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. And my hope is that someday, and in hopefully the not too distant future, you and I can meet in person. I hear you have another play coming up in October at Antaeus.
Right. Antaeus, yeah, play called She, S-H-E, and I'm working on that now. So I've been now moved from one to the other, but it's fun. And it's a beautiful story, so I'm excited about that, to be able to tell that story as well. Very different times, though, so right. It'll be fun.
Well, I can't wait. Andy, thank you so much for your time today. And folks, go out and see The Bluest Eye, currently running at A Noise Within in Pasadena until September 24th.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Bob.